Welcome to the last day of chapel for the semester. You are still standing. You are few this morning, but you are alive, and the end is here. You may have six more days that you're holding on, but you are going to make it to the end. Well, it was a short 3.5 months ago that this semester launched with our theme of Be Bold, hearing the words from the book of Acts on how the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. And we've heard that theme across the semester through many chapel speakers and in many ways in which it may have been in chapel, it may have been in your dorm room, it may have been in a classroom, that you have been nudged into some form and some expression of boldness. It's been a semester filled with ups and downs, with bends and turns, that the Lord has been at work in each one of us, calling us to more boldness, overcoming barriers into our own making Him Lord of our hearts and our lives. Have you grown in trusting God's word in your life? Have you been more courageous in your own discipleship? Meeting together with friends or a mentor to pray. Maybe this semester has included you being more bold in how you serve and where you've said yes to go and be the hands and feet of Christ. Have you surrendered your calling to follow Jesus more and His kingdom purposes in your life? That's the boldness that we've been asking for and seeking together this semester. As we close chapel celebrating Advent, we are in a world that is waiting, much like it was 2,000 years ago when the Lord of heaven boldly entered our world and yet humbly coming as a baby. Advent is our time of celebrating and at the same time awaiting his arrival, his coming again. So let's carry that in our hearts as Dr. Gray leads us in the remaining of chapel this morning.
Well, happy Friday. And I'm just looking around at the freshmen who would have started this year, and you are now in your last day of class of this very first semester at Asbury, and you probably early in August wondered if this day would ever come. And here it is, but next week's finals, so you're not through yet. And we want you to stay strong and get through next week and then to have a very wonderful Christmas. We have some seniors that are graduating, is that right? So let me ask the graduating December graduates to stand. Let us recognize you. Congratulations on getting to this point. Now, we want to see you in May to walk across the platform and get your diploma, but we wish you well between now and that time. And I want to tell you that next semester will not be the same without you. We will miss you. So God bless you as you move on into the next season of your life in January. We're also honored today to have the National Advisory Board on campus with us today, and I'd like to ask our advisory board members to stand and let us recognize you and thank you for your service. So they've come from Texas and Washington, D.C. and California and everywhere in between. So thank you for your service, and we're going to have a great day together. And as I look out to my left, I see one of our former Board of Trustees that's here with us, Dr. Giles Kirkland. And Giles, we're delighted to see you with us today. Thanks for being here. Well, we have panelists that are seated behind me, and you will be hearing from them in this chapel, and we're going to continue on with this theme of being bold. And so we want to look at those issues, and they're going to help us in understanding in their own lives what it means to be bold and how they resist the temptation of fear within their vocation. So I want to begin by sharing some scripture in the Christmas story. I know that it will be familiar to you, but this Christmas story, one of the greatest stories of boldness, and no doubt Mary and Joseph must have experienced great fear when they understood or were trying to understand what the Lord was saying to them. So let's listen. First, we'll hear from Joseph's story, and then we'll hear from Mary's. So in Matthew, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. But as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." And so I want to repeat this again. When the angel of the Lord appeared and called him by name and said, "Joseph, do not be afraid." Then in Luke, reading the story of Mary, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High." It's interesting in this story that for both Joseph and Mary, God called them by name. Joseph, do not be afraid. Mary, do not be afraid. And I believe for you graduating seniors, as well as for every one of us in this room, but God is calling you by name and saying, do not be afraid. And so we have four panelists with us that are going to help us look at this thought of not being afraid. On my far right is Ashley Binky. Ashley works in a family business in the auto industry, and she has four young boys. She works in human resources and graduated from Asbury in education and now finds herself in the corporate world. Brady Nassfell, who is seated next to her, comes from Hollywood. He graduated from Asbury in media and now is working in film and production in Hollywood. Next to him is Jamie Higdon, who works in Washington, D.C. And so she comes from, is an alum of Asbury, works in her own business along with her husband. And then seated next to Jamie is Rufus Friday, who is the president and the producer of the Lexington Herald Leader. And so you may wake up every day to the Lexington Herald News, as I do, Rufus. And now I end up looking at it at the end of the day also, because much happens in a day's time. And so I'm going to lead the panelists, and they're actually going to be sharing with you from their own stories of being bold and of resisting fear. So let me just begin with Rufus in asking a question. Yeah, I'm reminded with each one of you of Jesus' words that says, "I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves." And so I wonder if you sometimes feel that way in your own areas. "I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves," but he commands us to be shrewd as snakes, but innocent as doves. Rufus, what does that look like in your industry, to be as shrewd as a serpent but as innocent as a dove?
Well, I think I deal with that every day, Dr. Gray. It seems like that when I wake up every morning, I know that I've made half the people mad or half the people happy in the business that we deal with each and every day. And it's a challenge. I mean, from a standpoint of learning and understanding how to deal with criticism, you know, I liken back to what Jesus had to deal with. I mean, he had to deal with criticism all the time, and he got criticized for healing people. And, you know, I get criticized all the time about some of the news and information that's put out there for all of you to make some decisions on each and every day. And it's tough, and it's challenging, but, I do stick to the scriptures, and I always think about every day, 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, you know, for God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And that grounds me each and every day as I do my job.
What about the rest of you? What does that mean for you in terms of embracing what's happening in your fields of vocation, but resisting the fear and resisting the criticism, which I know it's very heavy in the media area, but each of you are exposed to that.
In addition to being a communication consultant, I also teach as an adjunct professor at American University, and it's another AU, but the AU that I teach in couldn't be any more different than the AU in which it was AC at the time, that I was schooled in, and that is probably where I feel the most persecution or fear of living out my faith, is how I interact with my students, because everything that I believe and speak and teach comes from the well of Christ's love for me, and sometimes I'm timid about how I convey that to my students, who not only are not believers for the most part, but in many ways are antagonistic to the faith that I hold so dear. I will say the way I combat that is to be embedded in a community of believers, that my faith cannot be shaken, because I have dear, dear friends who I communicate with and do life with in a big city that can be terrifying sometimes, day in and day out, and they help keep me grounded and remind me what life is really all about. And they challenge me and convict me, don't be afraid. No, this is who you are, and this is the truth. And if everybody can be exactly who they are, then you can be exactly who you are.
Brady, what about in Hollywood? How does this impact you and in your field?
Well, I can't help but think about when I first went. I think that it was kind of a naive boldness. You know, you go with excitement, and that's super healthy, I think. You kind of need that to get started. And then you get into the midst of the process, and the kind of the pressure comes. And I think that what I experienced was a kind of a spike of boldness at the beginning, and then beaten down over the years. And I had probably about 6-7 years ago, a fairly difficult time that made me feel a huge lack of confidence. And those were really tough times, because you start to question, you know, why am I here? We had a lot of friends at the time that were Christians in the business, and many of them left. You know, there was a kind of a around the 5-year mark, people were like, I can't take this, I'm just going to go away. And for some of them, that was the right choice. That's not bad to leave certain circumstances. But I found that God's calling was still on us to stay. You know, when we sought God on those things, we still felt this is the right place for us to be, even though it's tough, even though you're getting criticism, or you know, maybe your film project isn't going as well as you want it to go. Career-wise, it's, you know, if things aren't going as well, there's a time to stick it out and be bold and work through it. And what I'm seeing now is I guess have more expectation for what God's going to do. But it doesn't take away the fear. You know, what I'm struck by in the verses you've read is that the angel knows that Mary's afraid, knows that Joseph is afraid, and there's a good reason. There's community criticism they would face. How do you explain this immaculate conception, right? There are things that you have to face in life, and they're real fears. Are you going to lose your job? Are you not going to, is your relationship not going to succeed? Is your boss not going to promote you or be happy with you? Those are all real, legitimate fears, and I think that what God's calling us to do is to look to his strength in those times. Because when I look at the world, I get afraid when I'm looking at it alone, you know? And I have to be reminded every day to say, no, I'm with you. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I've overcome the world. You're going to have trouble, but I'm still here.
That's good. I would just piggyback on what they are saying as well. I remember being first starting out, as Dr. Gray mentioned, I was an education major, and now I have I'm not teaching. So I had this time period where I was really questioning, did I miss you, God? Did I miss my calling? And I feel that that is something that the enemy was particularly speaking to me. You're going to fail. You're not going to get this right. There is a one perfect pathway. And if you miss it, the rest of your life is just going to be a train wreck. And so for me, the journey of accepting God's leading, I really wanted to see the master plan. I would say, I just want a glimpse of what my life looks like. Just like to see, just a peek to see what, you know, and God was just speaking to me, just trust me in my faithfulness. And there were times where I literally felt like I was in the darkest, blackest, you know, as far as knowing what to go forward. And there would just be a hint of a beam of light where my foot should step next. And I would have no idea what was around me. And yet God was leading me. And I feel like what I want to share piggybacks on what they're saying, which is we are not alone. We are not in this alone. There is another team on the field who is trying to take us down. Do not be persuaded to think that, you know, that the enemy is not out to get you, because he is. But our God is bigger, and he has overcome. And we're not in this alone. And he proves his faithfulness over and over again. I had a situation at work where I had just had my fourth child, and I was in a difficult place where I had to replace a key person, and I was just desperately like, I don't get a maternity leave. I have to, you know, come back into work. I have these four kids, and God provided the perfect person just through an accidental divine appointment. And I interviewed her, and it was the right fit, and she started, you know, like 3 days later. God provided in my time of need. It doesn't always work as easily as that. I mean, there are real processes that we have to go through, but he does know when he proves himself to be faithful. And when you see those moments of faithfulness, you set a stone in place, and you turn to them, and you remember those times and say, I know you are faithful. You prove yourself faithful here and then, and I know you will be faithful for me in this moment too.
Are there some healthy boundaries that you might suggest for our students, and to express to them ways that you draw boundaries that may even help to set barriers to the fears coming in? What can you do on the front end? You know, once we feel fearful, we can call on Scripture and repeat it and know that God's with us. But is there a way that you can somehow try to build an insulation or a barrier that keeps you from giving in to that fear before it even comes?
Yeah, I may be embarrassed that I have an answer so quickly. It speaks to you all to call on this barrier. But a core value, if you want to say that, in my family, my little family, is that gratitude is the antidote to anxiety. So at any point where my husband or I are anxious about anything, we immediately try to stop and think about all the incredible blessings that we have at our fingertips. And it's amazing how a simple act of gratitude can transform your perspective. And you hearken back to those times you've been anxious in the past, and as Lindsay said, God has proven faithful. He has been faithful. He will be faithful. He is faithful. It doesn't work quite as well with my 5- and 4-year-old, but we're trying to execute that early when they are frustrated or angry at their sibling. we try to stop and say, tell me something you love about your sibling. Tell me something that you're thankful for. And I hope that I'm developing a pattern in their life where they interrupt those anxious thoughts with thoughts of gratitude and thanksgiving.
You know, I've got an accountability group that that helps me. I mean, it's a small group of guys, no more than 12 or 13, that we meet every week, and it's a way to kind of insulate me from some of the things that I have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. But they hold me accountable, and also it's a good sounding board because I can open up and share the fears that I have and some of the challenges that I deal with, and some tough decisions that have to be made. That there are times it goes against my biblical belief as well. And in the media business, there are things that we have to cover. There are things that we have to support that at times go in direct conflict with what I see and read from the Word. But having a close-knit group of individuals that helps, that I can talk to and share some of the failures that I have each and every day that I deal with.
Yeah, that's a good word. We try to develop a culture here and cultivate that within our students of accountability and mentorship. But I love that you're saying that this really is lifelong. It's not just about being a student or being at this point, but throughout life.
Well, for me, as far as boldness has been concerned, I've been in the news media business now. Matter of fact, this month marks 34 years. And, fortunately, unfortunately, everywhere I've gone, this is the sixth state I've lived in now, and I've kind of been a part of the first, as far as being a black person, being the first black publisher at places that I've worked at. And that is, in itself, there's a target on your back.
Right.
You have to work twice as hard just to prove yourself. And I've lived with that my entire life. I really hold my mom and dad in the highest of regards because they were close believers, but at the same time, they understood the fear and the boldness and the criticism that you're going to be dealing with by being a first. But they didn't let that get in my way. There are times that it was tough dealing with, but like I said before, that having that accountability group helps me.
That's great.
I would share that I have real strong boundaries about what I engage in. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. That was when I was an RA in Glyde Crawford, that was our verse on the wall. And that's actually been a real guiding verse for me in a lot of ways, because I do feel that what we allow in through our eye gate and through our heart gate, is going to inform us. And so, with, whether it be entertainment choices or even just, for me, I need to be really guarded about how much media I ingest. I want to be informed so that I'm relevant, and at the same time, I'm careful about the amount of information about a particular topic, so that I don't become crippled and feel powerless. God has the ultimate universal perspective, and He alone can carry the weight of the world. And sometimes I feel like because we have access to it all, we can become weighed down and then feel crippled and powerless. And so that's one thing that the Lord has led me to just be careful about, what I see, what I read, what I ingest.
Ashley, you mentioned that you started out in education and now you're not teaching, you're in a different environment, but I would ask you and any of the other panelists, can you speak to a point, and perhaps it hasn't happened, but has there been a time in any of your lives in which you feel that fear actually held you back from your calling? That you perhaps did not step into something that you should have, and hindsight helped you to understand that. Has fear held you back from stepping into your calling?
I think for me, fear held me back from what I really wanted to be, and that was initially I wanted to be an attorney. But the fear of, my God, six figures that it's gonna cost to go to law school, and I just couldn't see myself making that happen, and I knew my parents couldn't afford to make that happen as well, but I knew I wanted to be a public defender. I wanted to be in a position to, provide comfort to the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, and I didn't make that move. And subsequently, though, I look back now, and I'm in the news media business now, and I get that opportunity to do that in a different phase. But yeah, fear gripped me at that point in time and prevented me from doing something I really wanted to do.
I think probably every day, fear holds me back from something. But seriously, I mean, you know those things when they come, right? It's like you're faced with the challenge, and there are kind of the fast ways to deal with it. Sometimes that's ignoring it. Sometimes it's just putting it off until later. And then there's like hitting it head on. And obviously the timing is something you have to figure out as you're going through a process. But I think in my work environment specifically, there are a lot of people with a lot of different ways about how to get a job done, how to treat people or make certain decisions. And you know, when you're in a context where there are people above you, say the owner of a company, or really forceful colleagues who like to push their agendas, you know, you have to decide, are you ready for that engagement? And I think that sometimes there's a time to be quiet and not do that, but you know, I think having the discernment is super critical at that point. And I would say that just recently, just a quick example, are the owner of a company I work for quite a bit called, the company's called Positive Image. We do a lot of Ultimate Fighting Championship. We do some stuff in gaming for Blizzard and Activision. And we're doing a lot of new efforts to get new business, to do new projects, to pitch new shows. And the owner of our company is not around a lot. So when he comes back into the picture, he gets really kind of forceful and excited, and then he's gone. Because he directs the UFC live events. So he's out of town a lot. And just literally 2 weeks ago, one of my colleagues said, oh, there he is going, pushing you around again. And I just don't usually have that kind of a comment, but have you ever felt pushed around in any context, in groups you're in? I mean, I think we probably all have felt that, pushed around. And usually, in a context like that, there's someone in authority, right? You need to be respectful. As Christians, I think we need to be in a humble position. You know, we're to serve and to love. But there's also a time when we have to stand up and say, you know, that there's a different way to go with something. And so in this particular instance, the owner of the company wanted to pitch another show while we had three other pitches in process. And I said, you know, I don't think we should do that. We need to finish these pitches and not get distracted and make them wonder, you know, are we not focused? Are we too aggressive with our pitch? And he wasn't buying that. And we talked among ourselves, some of us that were several producers of the company, and we're all in agreement. And the owner is still pushing this. And finally, we all just said no to him. We said, you're going to destroy this relationship. And this is one small example, but it happens, I think, for me, every day, there's something that comes up like that.
I would share just briefly in my coming to Asbury, I wanted to get out of Ohio. I wanted to get away where people knew me as what they thought they knew me as. I didn't want to be associated with my family's business. And it was so refreshing to be here and to just be Ashley and for people to get to know me as myself. And so I started my career in education, and then after 3 years of teaching, decided I was tired of teaching to the test, and then ended up in a car dealership in Louisville, Kentucky, completely unrelated to my family's business. And I loved it and was so surprised at how much I really liked this. And so for me, I felt like it was the Lord leading me around, letting me develop my own identity, letting me become my own person. And then now I feel like I bring a strength back to my family business that I can say I have a more confidence. I don't have, I think in a family business, you have a fear of man. You have, you know, my boss is my dad, and I love my dad, and I want my dad to be happy with me. And so when I go to Thanksgiving with my dad and my brothers, I'm going with my business partners. So it's just it's a really unique thing, and I never saw myself as being part of it growing up. I wasn't really raised with this idea of, you know, someday you're going to take over the family business. And so this has just been a very organic thing. where God has just proven himself to be faithful. And I enjoy what I do now, and it's a lot of fun, and it has its challenges. And I am blessed to serve. And because we are a Christian family and we're privately owned, there's a lot of freedom in sharing our faith. And that's a real blessing and gift. And I know that, you know, many of you look at business as missions here. And that was a great term to coin what I felt like my dad had always been doing. And so when I heard about that, I was like, yes, let's teach young people to do that. Let's do that. How can we partner with that? So
that's great. Jamie, I've noticed you kind of agreeing with these comments that have been made. And as I think of you in Washington, D.C., which is so prominent in our news today, and even with names that are associated with Washington, say a bit about being in that city and how that impacts the work that you do.
So we love Washington, D.C. I get a lot when I tell people I'm from Washington, D.C. or live in D.C., they say, oh, where? Alexandria, Virginia? Oh, where? Fairfax? You know, 40 miles outside? No, we actually have a Washington, D.C. address. We live in a fantastic urban neighborhood that's incredibly diverse. And I think what keeps us grounded in the swirl and the haze of the news cycle that's increasing at a rapid clip, it's hard to keep up, is really being connected to our community. So while we both, my husband and I, have worked in the political realm, him on Capitol Hill for 15 years, myself in the federal government and the security, and certainly are engaged in those spaces day in, day out professionally, we are able to, I don't want to say compartmentalize, because our world in many ways revolves around the political calendar, so we're integrated, it's part of our rhythm, but it's not who we are. We are members of a dynamic church. That's who we are. We are parents. That's who we are. I am a room mom at my kid's school. That's who I am. We are neighbors. We are the house on our block that kids come to after school. And so recognizing that wherever you're placed, wherever you find your home or your calling vocationally, that isn't who you are. It can be an aspect of who you are. It can be how you talk about yourself. And in D.C., you'll find many of you, I'm sure, have traveled there for vacation or educational experiences. And you'll find the first question is, oh, what do you do? Who do you work for? We want to define ourselves and our community by who we know and what we can do for each other. It's all about networking. I've always despised that mentality. So I always lead with something like, oh, I've got a 5 and a 4-year-old, I'm a mom. Oh, what do you do? Oh, really, that's interesting. That's often like, you don't have anything better to say, hey, it's the best thing I do. It's the most important work that I do. And so if you can remind yourself, wherever you're planted, but we have to do this especially day in and day out in DC, that's not who we are. It's what we do for a portion of our day, but it doesn't define us. Certainly it's not how God sees us.
Yeah, that's great, and I know that we need to wrap up now, but as I'm just sitting here listening to each of you, and Rufus, when you began in saying that you wake up and some people, half the people criticize you and the other half, you know, may love what you're doing, but the thought that just triggered in my mind is that people even resist truth, that you would be speaking truth, but they may resist that, and how hard that would be for us, and so thank you for your leadership and what you do in maintaining truth and being a very vital part of our community and beyond across Kentucky and in D.C. Jamie, likewise, we pray God's blessings over you and the continued work that you do, and may you be soft and light in that area and in Hollywood. Brady, we know that there are good things that are happening there, and we love it that not only you are there, but many other Asbury alumni are there too and are producing good things in film and theater and music lyrics for us to appreciate the beauty of what God has given us. And in the corporate world, actually, where oftentimes we associate the corporate world with greed and all other competitiveness, unhealthy competitiveness. And so each one of you are serving in very vital ways. And so as a campus community, we need to keep not just these folks in prayer and in mind, but they represent so many others that are truly doing good work in the marketplace, wherever that may be. So thank each one of you for, we'd love to be able to stay here all day. I think students may have an 11 o'clock class, so we won't continue the rest of this conversation. But I do want you to join with me, if you would, in prayer as we pray for our panelists, for the work that they represent, and as I pray for you. So would you bow with me in prayer? Blessed Lord Jesus, we are humbled and we are overjoyed. Our cups are overflowing with the truth and the reality that you are who you say you are. We thank you, Lord, that truth does stand, whether it is embraced by all or not. And we thank you that you are in every place. You are from east to west, north to south, in every nation, every corner of the universe. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence there. We rely upon that. And I thank you for Christian folks that carry your spirit with them wherever they may be. And so, Lord, we do pray for Rufus and for Jamie and for Brady and for Ashley and the work and the families and the lives and the neighborhoods and the vocations that they represent. Thank you that they are standing for truth. And thank you, Lord, that they know that that it is your perfect love that casts out all fear. And so my prayer, Lord, is for our campus community as we complete the end of this academic semester, but we also complete the end of a calendar year. I pray that you would go with each one of our students, with our faculty and staff and administration. And Lord, may we honor you and glorify you in all that we do. So thank you. We love you, Lord. We do say, come, Jesus. Show up. Let us encounter you in ways that we would never have anticipated or expected in this day. And we pray all of things, Jesus, in your holy and wonderful name. Amen. Merry Christmas to each one of you. And for all other than graduating seniors, I look forward to seeing you next year, in January.